Welcome to Cinema Savants, your home for all your movie and TV news, with Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's show, we are now 33% lighter because Lee isn't here. Again, still. Or does that make us our regular weight and we're just heavier when he's here? I'm not sure. It's, you know, cutting dead weight. That's what it is. That's my segue from the intro.
Mean. So mean. Well, I was thinking that we're punching outside of our weight class this way.
No. It's a segue into Filmstruck, who was cut off this week. Well, at the end of the month.
At the end of the month, which is sad.
It is.
It's very sad.
Filmstruck was a good service.
Even though I take personal responsibility for the demise of Filmstruck because I never subscribed.
I will blame you for it.
And that's my fault. I accept the blame. Filmstruck, for those who don't know, which is probably most of you, because if most of you knew, it wouldn't be going away, as a streaming service that was put together by Warner Brothers and Turner. And
Warner?
It featured... Yeah, Warner. Warner was part of it. Yeah, figure that. Anyway, they featured the catalog of Warner films, which is it's quite a few.
That's a lot.
And Turner, which is huge, and the Criterion collection, which is also huge. So you had this combination of art house, foreign films, plus classic Hollywood, which is a pretty awesome collection. That's like right in my wheelhouse. So again, I have no idea why I didn't subscribe. But again, I accept the blame for the fact that it's going to be going away in about 26 days, which is sad. Initially, word was that it was AT&T's fault because AT&T bought this group just a few months ago. And then AT&T said, nope, not us. It was on them. And then that group said, yes, it is on us. So Criterion Collection will wind up streaming again somewhere. It used to be on Hulu until Filmstruck started. And I got Hulu. And I'll probably cancel Hulu like the moment that Criterion announces that they're going back to Hulu. So hopefully they go to either Amazon or Hulu or Netflix, and they don't go to yet another smaller, like, boutique streaming service.
Streaming service.
Oh. We're getting way too many of those, which is why I didn't subscribe to Filmstruck. Not that it was a lot of money. I think it was $9.99. There were like two levels. One was just the Turner stuff, and then the second level brought in the Criterion Channel. It's like, and not that it's a ton of money, but at some point, you know, unless you want to be spending $600 a month on streaming services, you've got to like cut back. So again,
got to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah, I should have just killed Hulu and gone with Filmstruck. But anyway, too late now. But
yeah,
it's not too late to subscribe. Not too late to subscribe. Yeah, exactly. Go ahead and sign up for free and watch 7 days worth of great movies. Because if you're a fan of classic movies, art house films, foreign films, it is by far the best service that's out there and will be for the next 26 days. So it's really sad, but it's not like they're just going to sit on this library. I mean, they'll reappear somewhere else. It just hasn't been announced yet. In the meantime, if you do not wish to do that, there is a free streaming service. Yes, I did say free, called Canopy, and that's Canopy with a K. And if you can't spell the rest of it, just
you're on your own.
Yeah, you go away. But Canopy is a stream service which is linked in with public libraries. So it may not be available to you if your library is not part of it, but most libraries are. That's the key, though. You have to be a member of your local public library, which, hey, is also free. And who knows, you may be exposed to some different thoughts because books. So if you're not a member of your local public library, go join your local public library, then go to Canopy, because they will ask for your library card number and your library system. But lots of great movies available on Canopy and tons that aren't on any other streaming service. So that is a decent alternative until the eventual replacement for Filmstruck shows up. So sucks that Filmstruck is gone or will be gone. And again, it's my fault, so I'm sorry.
We'll blame you. Netflix, however, not going away. Although, they are getting sued. I don't know if you saw this. I found this vastly amusing. It has to do with the chilling adventures of Sabrina. She's being sued. Well, not she. The network is being sued because of Sabrina by the Satanic Temple. And this is a real thing. The problem, they say, is that they... what was it? They used a work of art that is copyrighted. It's a statue of Baphomet. And if I'm mispronouncing that, don't sue me. I apologize already. It's a copy of Baphomet's statue that is a copyrighted work, and they did not give permission to use it. So there's, and they're saying that, hey, it's just a, you know, it's making them look bad. Huh? Not really sure how that works, but let's see, what's the quote here? Would they be as understanding of a fictional show that used a real mosque as the HQ of a terrorist cell, or a fictionist blood libel tale implicating real-world Jews? And the answer is, of course, no, I wouldn't think so. Unless it's an NCIS episode, which I think has done both of those. But yeah, the thing is, and I kind of like this, they're not suing for money. They're suing to have it digitally erased from the show. That's it. That's all they want.
Interesting.
Which I think that's very interesting and a lot more Christian than... I'm just saying that that's their philosophy.
Right.
I thought that was interesting. I mean, the show's not going to be canceled. It's already filming season two.
Right. They just don't want to be misrepresented.
Exactly. So, thought that was interesting, throwing it out. That they, you know, they don't want money. Unlike J.J. Abrams, who is apparently aiming to land one of the biggest mega deals in Hollywood history. And it's... if I understand this deal correctly, and they haven't listed a whole lot of information about it, it has to do with Disney is involved, Universal is involved, I think, somehow. Warner Brothers, it seems like everybody is trying to throw, and I've heard a billion with a B, as in, boy, that's a lot of money, throwing that at J.J. Abrams. And it's for a deal that no one really knows anything else about, unless you know any. Have you heard anything? I have not heard.
The only thing I've heard is similar things, but it's tied to a vast spectrum of entertainment. It's not just movies and TVs. It's theme park revenue. It's everything, which is what puts Disney and Universal in the lead for the possibility of a deal, because they got theme parks. So,
well, it makes it a little bit more convenient. Dollywood will be popping up next.
that makes it a little more helpful. And yeah, that's a ton of money, obviously, like literally might be if it was in dollar bills. Certainly in nickels, it would be a lot. But
yeah,
it depends on the length of the contract, because it sounds like that's an insane amount of money. But think about the fact that movies that he's been involved in have wound up making a billion, and we're talking about like one film. Yeah, I can see there he would be worth it. I mean, he's about as bankable as it gets right now. So, and of course, he'll immediately turn into Adam Sandler once this happens, and all his creative juices will be gone. But it's
well, actually, that goes to my favorite quote that came out of this was, "He's making such a big deal. It's a shame it's not for more talent." Oh, that's a bit harsh, but
the other thing is, it's not about talent. No. And which is that's a funny quote, but it's also an incorrect quote, because obviously the man has talent. But it isn't about talent. It's about money. They don't care if he's talented. They just care if he can print make money, and he does. Yeah. And that's as simple as it gets. So while the quote's funny and wrong,
it misses the point,
which, you know, that's, the studios have never been about talent.
No,
they've always been about money, which is kind of sad, but that's just how things go.
Oh, well, let's see. You ready for some remake news? Cause there's always entirely too much of it this week. Start with one. I guess I'm gonna start with the one that makes the least bit of sense to me, just as a concept. Oprah Winfrey, Steven Spielberg, Quincy Jones, and Scott Sanders are looking to adapt what is apparently a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical. Right there alone, that sounds pretty good. Mm-hmm. Until you get to the title of it, which already has a movie. It's called The Color Purple. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll admit, I did not know it was turned into a musical. I did not know it won a Tony Award. I was, however, forced to read the book as a freshman in college. And I say that not because I'm anti the story of the book or anything, which was Pulitzer Prize winning, apparently, by Alice Walker. It just it's not my genre that I'm that interested in. But it's about a pair of, families of African Americans living in the 1930s and dealing with racism, which in my head doesn't lend itself to the musical genre. Because I'm like, that white man, he used racial slurs and beat my husband. I'm going to sing. What? I guess it makes about as much sense as any other musical, really.
That's a sad musical. But
it's, having, is it? I don't know.
I would think it would be kind of a sad musical because it's a sad topic. Not having heard any of the music from it, so this is going to be an ignorant, literally ignorant comment. I would assume that a lot of the format of the music would be the blues, because that would certainly make sense given the subject matter. So yeah, when I first saw this, because I first heard of this in your notes in the agenda for the show, and it's like my initial thought was like, that seems like a not good choice for a musical. But musicals don't have to be, you know, singing in the rain and happy and blah blah blah. So
there was The Miserables a few years ago.
So my initial thought of like, who would go see this, is like, yeah, it makes sense. Obviously it's not going to be a good time as in a happy time, but it could certainly be a fulfilling time and an interesting time. So yeah, that's actually pretty cool. The casting, that'll be the interesting part, you know. And again, I have no knowledge, and this is when Lee should be on the show, because Lee probably does know, but I have no knowledge of who's in the play, and hopefully they would bring those people on, because they're probably not stars, but all too often they don't do that, and they don't bring in, they don't just transfer the people over who were in the Broadway play, who helped make it a success. So hopefully they'll do that. And they'll say, well, we need stars. Well, how do you get stars? It's like, maybe you should give these people a chance. And granted, stage acting and film acting, two very different things, but it's not like people can't do both, because a lot of people can. So yeah. This is actually pretty cool news. This is interesting.
I just hope they don't, you know, go really off script is not exactly the word I'm looking for, but things like, yes, the part Oprah Winfrey played in the movie will now be played by Ian McKellen. No, don't.
I would imagine since it's a Tony Award winning musical play, and of course the book is an award winner and the film is an award winner, it's like, yeah, let's hopefully they'll actually do this the right way.
Right.
And I would think they would, because Oprah and Steven Spielberg are the ones involved in bringing it to the theater, so
right,
the big screen theater. So I kind of think they'll do it the right way.
Got a good start. Ridley Scott is not going to be in The Color Purple. He is, however, bringing back Gladiator, or a sequel to Gladiator. It was originally starring Russell Crowe. Who knows who it's going to star this time?
Very weird.
I got to admit, I remember that I did watch Gladiator when it came out. I remember that there were coliseums and armors and swords and stuff, and frankly, plot, not a clue what happened in this movie at this point anymore.
Rob, were you not entertained?
I might have been at the time, but
I like Gladiator a lot. This is kind of strange. though, is like, this is a long time between the original film.
I know, and we've said before, sometimes it's too quick with this time might have been too long.
Yeah, it is kind of odd. I mean, obviously, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Gladiator, the protagonist and antagonist probably won't be in the sequel, just saying. Or they shouldn't be.
I was thinking that.
So it'll be the obvious thing is like, well, his son will be the protagonist, and we'll see what happens. But there's a lot of different ways they can go with this, but it's just surprising that a sequel now, this much later. Not that it's a bad thing, it's just, that's kind of weird. Let's go back to the well. What is it, 30 years later? So
almost 20. Come on. We're I know we talk about some
like
gaps.
It.
Well, you want to go back 30? We can go back 30. How about Alien Nation, which came out in 88, which would be 30 years old this year?
That's 30 years old.
At some point. They're talking about rebooting Alien Nation, which, if you don't remember, is a lot like the way Supergirl is being portrayed now on the CW. Basically, aliens show up and have to integrate themselves into society and how we deal with that. I thought the movie was actually really good.
Yeah, I agree.
James Caan and Mandy Patinkin.
The movie was very good, I think.
My issue with this, I don't know that it would work now with the xenophobic society that we seem to have come up with in the States, where we're worried about what a flock of brown people are coming out of Mexico into the United States. Well, yeah, they're still human. Aliens are coming. Oh, no, we wouldn't accept that either.
I think it would work even better because of that, actually. I think that's a good timing for it, sadly.
Well, as long as it changes some minds into the whole being liberal, bear with me.
And as long as it's done correctly. Are they talking about rebooting it as a film or as a series, though?
It looks like it's going to be as a film.
Good.
I remember the TV series vaguely.
Yeah.
Better than Gladiator, but that's not saying much. I'm a bit confused because they say that they're working on it with Fox, which works with Fox News, which, And it's not going to exist, so they're working on it for Fox, which is really Disney, or will be soon enough, at least by the time they finish the script, much less start filming. Right. So really, it's going to be a Disney film, and Mandy Patinkin gets to be a Disney princess this time. I'm just kidding. I honestly doubt Mandy Patinkin's going to be a princess.
I doubt it.
It'll
that
be
would
James
be fun,
Kong.
Though. That would be fun. That would be fun for both of them.
Yeah, sure, why not? All right, so speaking of aliens, James Cameron, speaking of going to the well one too many times, is working on his four sequels to Avatar for 20th Century Disney. That should be their new name, 20th Century Disney, so there. Anyway, they released the titles this week, which are going to be Avatar, The Way of the Water, Avatar, The Seed Bearer, Avatar, the Tolkien writer, I'm not sure if that's pronounced right, and Avatar, the Quest for Anya, Awa, that one, the last
those,
one. That, oy.
Those are real titles, right?
Those are real titles. And it's not my fault I can't pronounce them. I haven't seen the movie since 2009, which is more recent than Gladiator, and yet still just about as fuzzy. Only it was more blue and fuzzy than...
Blue and fuzzy.
Armored and fuzzy. But yeah, they're scheduled to come out. The dates were released, which would be December 18th, 2020, 17th, 2021, December 20th, 2024, and December 19th, 2025. Marvel hasn't scheduled out that far. Which I think is ridiculous. Is that just me? I'm just...
That seems kind of... that's interesting that they've got set dates for the last two.
I mean, that's...
I don't really care about the Avatar sequels because, I mean, I like the movie, but I thought the love for the movie and how original it was ridiculous because it's far from original. It doesn't make it bad, but it's tropes that have been in science fiction for decades. Cameron did a great job of bringing it to the screen, but like I said, I think it's just, it's a good movie. It's not, I don't think it's a great movie. And I don't really care about the sequels because those titles just, oh my God.
Do nothing for me, but.
No, they're just, okay. That seems really bland and blah. And I'm sure the movies will be fun and I'll probably go see them, but it's not like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. I just, and I know there are literally millions of people who can't wait, who are super excited about this.
Yeah, more, but you're going to have to wait because I haven't filmed it yet.
So there you go.
There's another series that people apparently really love, but it's gonna have a change happen. Tyler Perry was out promoting his new film, Nobody's Fool, and he was talking about a movie coming out next year, Tyler Perry's A Madea Family Funeral. And he said that this time he's going to kill off Madea.
Thank God.
Which I thought was interesting. I love this quote. This is it. It's time for me to kill that old bitch. I'm tired. We're going to say goodbye in 19. I just don't want to be her age playing her. Oh, okay. Well, so much for, he's done what? 30,000 of these Madea films.
Seems that way. Don't blame him because they all make him money.
They do. Going to the well? Yeah, sure. Why not? His other films, I'll admit, I don't watch the Madea films. I've seen some of his other films, and they're pretty good.
I've seen some of his films, and I've seen... are you talking about directing or acting?
Both. I don't think I think he's a pretty good actor, too.
I was just going to say, he is a pretty good actor. That character, though, is like, oh, my God. And granted, maybe I'm not the target audience, and I don't really care.
I know I'm not.
But
I'll admit that.
Surprise, Tyler. You're not the only person who's tired of that character. I'm glad to hear you're capping the well finally, blowing it up. Because, man, that character is obnoxious. I never got the point of, look, Tyler Perry is in drag playing the old lady again. I don't care. It's not funny. And obviously, again, millions of people think it is. For thousands of films is what it feels like. But maybe now he'll concentrate on actually playing an interesting character instead of that character. Because he is a good actor. He's a very good actor. And, you know, more power to him. It's like he's going off with his friends and having a party and filming it and making money out of it, because that's about the value of it to me. But thank goodness. Like, you're doing something good for film now. You're getting rid of that character. Thanks.
Let's see. There was another remake movie news, but I couldn't find... It's something you sent me about Heathers.
Yeah, Heathers.
The TV series. I missed this.
We had talked about Heathers, the TV series, a while ago, and how, you know, the timing wasn't really right. Obviously, with school shootings and stuff, and things are a little different from when the movie came out. And I came across this quote. This is from the showrunner, Jasis McAuliffe, and I'm probably mispronouncing, and I don't care because he's an idiot.
I mispronounce names all the time. And
in January, he said, "In the original film, the Heathers were the ones I always loved." And it's the same with the series. The Heathers are the aspirational characters.
No.
Dude, there's something seriously wrong with you, and I'm talking about in film. I mean, there's something wrong with someone who watches the movie Heathers and thinks that the Heathers are the cool people. They're the villains. They're the evil bitches because they hate everybody who isn't as good as they are. They look down on people, and this is who the guy thought was great. No wonder the show his follow up. Apparently sucked because I didn't watch it. I'm not going to because
I don't even think it came out.
It finally did show up, but they had they recut it, and because it was going to come out in just a couple weeks after, you know,
we cut out the plot,
the last school shooting, and they recut it and they cut out apparently two or three entire episodes of it because apparently those sucked more than some other portions.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. And I don't even care about the quality of it. Just the fact that this idiot thought that the Heathers, that those characters were the good people, that explains a lot. Honest to God, that explains a lot about what's going on in this country right now. Is some freaking moron watches a movie about horrible, horrible freaking people who hate everybody who isn't as good as they are. Notice the pause for the air quotes. Exactly. And yeah, he says the villain is JD. Well, of course the villain is JD because he's the one who actually takes things over the top and kills people. But to think that these hateful, hurtful, awful people were the good ones? It's like, dude, don't ever make anything else. Don't spread your crap to anybody else. Please go away. Although you might want to go into politics because right now your kind of thought process is on the rise. It's like, what an idiot, Jason McAuliffe, you are. My God, you're a horrible freaking person if you think that those people were the good people. And I'm not talking about if characters in a film are good or not. I'm talking about this guy's opinion of what is a good person. It's like, Jesus, I wish someone had talked to this fool before they gave him the green light, because surely they would have said, this guy's insane. Let's call an asylum.
Speaking of Mel Gibson, I'm not going to get a better segue into this story than that.
Best segue ever.
Mel Gibson is doing a new movie with Charlie Hunnam and Eliza Gonzalez, based on the novel Last Looks by Howard Gould. I can never say that word right. Gould. There needs to be an L in it somewhere. Anyway, it's about an LAPD detective named Charlie Waldo. So the name of the movie is Waldo. And the picture they released is a guy in a red and white striped shirt. And he looks lost. And I'm sorry, I'm looking at this going, where is he? Where's Waldo the movie? That's the picture they released for this. And we're not supposed to think, oh, look, it's the guy from the kids' books. I'm sorry, that's exactly what it looks like to me. I am just passing that along. And then I'll move on to Marvel, because they had stuff this week. I guess. Like, Marvel has a new TV series that they're working on, and it apparently is going to star the same characters from the movie. Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan are supposed to be doing a TV series. I don't know if it's for Disney streaming service. I doubt it's for Netflix. It could be on ABC. Who knows? But it's going to be The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Excellent. That's super fantastic. It's very cool because they're using the actors that they need to use, because it would really suck if they recast it. And I mean, this, it makes sense because they're going on. This is following the heels of the announcement that they're going to do a Loki series and that Tom Hiddleston is doing that, because man, that really wouldn't work. So I can definitely see the prospects for this. And ooh, surprise, I guess they'll survive Avengers 4, won't they? Because it could hardly be a prequel, because they didn't really have that much interaction beforehand anyway.
I don't even think they liked each other before that. So
yeah, exactly.
There we go.
It does bring up the question of what's going to happen with Steve Rogers and all that happy speculation.
Because didn't Winter Soldier and Falcon eventually become Captain America?
Yeah, both of them have. So it'll be a pretty cool show. And I like both of the actors, especially Anthony Mackie. So that's awesome news, I think. That's fantastic news. And we were saying we were talking about Daredevil and how possibly he might interact. And like I was just talking with my kids the other day about Charlie Cox plays Daredevil on the
Netflix.
Man, if anybody deserves to make the jump from the Netflix series to the movies, it's Charlie Cox. I mean, I would love to see that. And what would be perfect, and hopefully they would actually do this, but what would be perfect is to have him show up in a Spider-Man film with Kingpin, because Kingpin is a joint villain of Spidey and Daredevil. I mean, Kingpin had tons of run with Spider-Man, in addition to Daredevil.
That's where I knew him from first. I don't know if that's his first appearance place, but yeah.
So Vincent D'Onofrio and obviously you keep Tom Holland and Charlie Cox. That would be fantastic because Cox is he is amazing, I think, as Daredevil slash Matt Murdock. So
and you, I believe you're reviewing him on the show Friday.
That is correct.
See, something to look forward to. Unlike potentially, I'm not looking forward to this. December 21st, they're releasing Deadpool 2 in theaters again now that it's out on DVD. Only this is the PG-13 version where they filmed new stuff, including a they're calling it a bookend. New intro, new exit, and they're doing it like the Princess Bride with the grandfather reading the story thing. Only this time it's Deadpool.
The framing device.
Thank you.
I think I'll probably go see it. I mean, I really like the movies. And I don't like the movie because of what makes them R-rated. Doesn't bother me. I think it's hilarious. But I like the movies because of the humor and the action and stuff. And I think it can work. Is it a cash grab? Sure.
Absolutely.
But does this also give parents who, for some unknown reason, are letting little kids go see Deadpool, which is like really, really hard R stuff?
Very
R. Yeah, I think that's great. I'm kind of surprised that they didn't actually try to go for PG, although maybe that's almost impossible with that character because, you know, guns and swords. So,
yeah.
But I think it's kind of cool because I actually does think it's serving a purpose, like 20% serving a purpose and 80% cash grab. But still, that's cool that kids who really shouldn't watch Deadpool will get a chance to see Deadpool, and probably every one of them has already seen it, and they'll hate it because it's PG-13. So, yeah, go figure. I think it's kind of cool, though.
Let's see. Other Marvel news we got this week. Just one more thing, and we're crossing over a little bit. The guy who wrote Wonder Woman, or one of the guys anyway, David Callum, has been signed on to write a Marvel movie of unknown titleage at this point. Any thoughts on that? I think
good movie.
Wonder Woman was a great movie.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. I'm on board for that.
I guess it's not Black Panther 2, Black Widow, or the Eternals.
And I guess they're doing kind of a swap since James Gunn is going to be doing Suicide Squad 2. Sure, so. There we go.
Which brings us to the DC news of the week, because there was a lot of problems they were having with the forthcoming Birds of Prey movie, which is somehow going to have Harley Quinn, even though I don't remember Harley Quinn being in the Birds of Prey. That was Huntress and Oracle and Black Canary and any other female Gotham character, really. But that's okay. They have a bad guy now, and the bad guy is going to be Black Mask, who is basically just near as I could tell, he was just a gangster in Gotham. But they needed someone to play the role, so they said, "Help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're our only hope." So they got Ewan McGregor.
Which is pretty cool. Which is very cool.
That might have saved them. I'm not knocking any of the women who are or anyone who's involved in it at all right now. But that may have just made the movie more seeable, I think.
Yeah. Certainly makes it more bankable.
Yeah.
So that's excellent news because he's got name recognition as far as getting people to go see it. And he's an awesome actor. So,
I mean, right now, the only other names we've got Margot Robbie, who I'm not sure is big enough to draw a movie on her own yet. I think she could be. And Rosie Perez, who, frankly, I thought retired from acting because I don't know that I've seen her in anything since White Men Can't Jump. Which I saw around the same time as Gladiator, and we all know how I remember that movie.
Oh my god.
It could just be me. Let's end the show on some good news. Does that sound okay?
That sounds fantastic.
Okay. Every year the BBC seems to come out with a list of the 100 greatest fill-in-the-blank films, and this past week they came out with the 100 greatest what is this, foreign language films of all time, which immediately raised the question in my mind, if you go to Japan, do they have a list of 100 foreign language films that include things like Star Wars and Jaws and Aladdin, because that's a foreign language to them? I've never seen any list like that. I guess it's just, maybe it's just English-speaking people who do that in kind of a conceited sort of way, I would think. Not the point. I was very happy that it's down a bit. Number 37 on the list, though, is someone we haven't mentioned in a few shows. And we mentioned Hayao Miyazaki in every freaking show for the first 2 years we did this.
Seems that way, yeah.
And now we will again. Hayao Miyazaki coming in at number 37 with Spirited Away. Woohoo!
And here I thought you were going to be upset that it was that low.
I could be, because, I mean, I've seen some of the films that are above it. And I would put it higher, but that's just me.
Yeah, I would put it higher. One thing that I noticed that was interesting in the list is Akira Kurosawa, who's like one of my all-time favorite directors, has two movies in the top 10, which is like actually two in the top five.
Top
which is
four,
pretty,
if we want to be picky about it.
Yeah, let's be picky, which is incredible. What's really funny is that, and this survey was done by critics all around the world, none of the Japanese film critics had him in their top 10. Which is,
well, because it's not foreign to them, I guess.
Well, he's never been as popular in Japan as he's been overseas.
That's very
which
hard.
Doesn't mean, not that he's not popular, it's just he's not been as big in Japan. He's easily the most successful Japanese film director worldwide, but in Japan he's never been the guy. And I think a lot of it is because of the Western influences, which is one reason why people like his films so much over here. Seven Samurai being the number one, which is very much influenced by Westerns, especially John Ford Westerns, things like that. So I thought that was really cool that Kurosawa had, like you said, two of the top four, which is pretty sweet. But Miyazaki, yeah, I think I would put that like in the top 20. Spirited Away is just an incredible movie. So obviously,
there's a lot of these I've never heard of, which makes sense. A lot of these long before I was born.
The list has lots of films from.
Number seven was Federico Fellini's 1963 prequel to 9½ Weeks, 8½. I'm kidding. That's not what it's about. At least I hope that's not what it's about. If it is, oh dear. Or the 1931 Fritz Lang classic, I guess, M, which is a prequel to Bond. I'm just kidding. I'm making these up. Well, actually, no, I'm not. The movies exist. I'm making up the plots for them. Because I don't know them. I really...
And those are both great movies. But yeah, there are... And chances are there are going to be a lot of films on there that people don't recognize because they're foreign films and they just don't get that much play in the U.S. So that happens. Doesn't mean that overall it's a fantastic list of films and there's no arguments about other than Spirited Away should be higher, but there's no arguments in general about what's on there and what's not. So of all the films I recognize, which was a lot, they're all terrific films. I didn't see anything that's like, oh my God, why on earth did they put that there? And it's Adam Sandler free. So there you go.
Oh, that just makes that validates the list, I think. good list. Yay, Hayao Miyazaki. And I believe that brings us to the end of the show. So if you want to hear some reviews, because we've got some, come back on Friday for the Cinema Savants review show. Until then, if you're not going to see any of these wonderful foreign language films on that, I know some of these are on Netflix and Hulu and stuff, and they're probably on Filmstruck. So sign up for the next month and confuse the crap out of their accountants. If not, then just get out of the house and go see a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed! Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.